Vivis. Hi, everyone. My name is Martha Hassel, and you're listening to my podcast, Dichos. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Dichos. Muchísimas gracias a todos por estar aquí conmigo. If you're a returning subscriber and supporter, thank you so much for coming back y oyendo un poquito de mi historia, un poquito de mi corazón, y no es un pedacito de mí que me gusta compartir con ustedes. Obviamente, pasar estos dichos que me han servido muchísimo en la vida. I know that it's helped a lot of you out so far, and I love to hear the stories that y'all share with me, telling me, you know, how much you can relate to them or how you've heard that dicho and you just didn't understand it until you listened to my podcast. Así que muchísimas gracias por todo el feedback y todos los comentarios que han, you know, hecho hasta este momento. If this is your first time here, welcome, welcome, welcome. Bienvenidos a la familia, bienvenidos al Dichos Familia. I hope that you enjoy this story and this podcast, and let's get right into it. This week, I wanted to share with you a story about a darker moment in my life that I kind of contemplated on discussing to begin with. I know that we live in a world where, you know, whether we like it or not, we tend to judge people. Y es tal vez inevitable juzgar, no juzgar a alguien, ¿verdad? Porque como que es in our nature a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more of like a human trait that we have, you know, just to naturally judge someone. Y aunque no queremos hacerlo intencionalmente, a veces pasa así. Así que I kind of, I contemplated on this story for quite some time. And I think it's the reason, one of the reasons, aside from me just being on really tight, you know, time schedule, porque obviamente tengo deadlines coming up at work, and they're just, you know, it's a priority for me to focus, you know, or shift my focus onto my, you know, day job. Pero aparte de que I started recording this podcast, you know, 2 weeks ago, and like I said, in my previous post, in my Insta stories, if you follow me on Instagram, you would know. If you don't, but I had shared with you, I'll go ahead and tell you now. I had shared with everyone that I recorded a podcast, and it was really like raining durante el tiempo que estaba grabando. Entonces no sé si fue una conexión, una mala conexión o qué onda, pero por alguna razón it didn't record the entire podcast, and so it cut off in the middle of the whole recording session. And so the story that I had decided to share with you back 2 weeks ago was the same story that I'm going to share with you now. And I think it's also kind of because that happened and I've had enough time to kind of think about it and think it through. Me he estado maybe like poniendo un poquito nerviosa porque I've been questioning or not whether to share this story with you. Obviamente el dicho va con la historia que les voy a compartir. El dicho es algo que es muy general, que se puede aplicar a cualquier situación, pero pues la historia, la verdad que it's not a very general, you know, situation. It's not something that everyone goes through, and it's something that I know that I will be judged on. Yo sé que mucha gente me van a juzgar por eso, porque obviamente, como les digo, es un instinto natural juzgar a alguien. It's just, I think, how you go about it afterwards that kind of differentiates you from everyone else. So we unintentionally judge people, but then we decide at that moment whether that is going to be a determining factor as to whether or not we want to get to know them. And so I think just instinctively, like, right at the moment, you know, first reactions and, you know, first impressions are everything. And you start to judge people. Obviously, you judge someone right away. Pero pues once you get to know them, you obviously kind of form a different opinion about them based on who they showed you then, you know. And so, or at that moment. Entonces, obviamente ustedes no me conocen en persona. Ustedes conocen las historias que he compartido con ustedes. Ustedes conocen lo que yo les he presentado, lo que yo les he dicho, y han formado sus opiniones de mí, obviamente. So, this is something that might or might not stray you from a different from a different perspective that you had about me. And so all I ask is that you just kind of go into this podcast with an open heart and an open mind, and just know that todos hacemos errores, you know, we're all human, que todos sabemos what is wrong and what is right, and we all make a choice. And so the choices that I made in the past have not always been the greatest, and it's something I'm not proud of, pero pues a la misma vez, it's something that kind of helped me build a tough exterior, build tough skin, hacer un poco más courageous and direct and driven, porque I think has kind of helped me maybe find a, you know, a, how do I say this? It's helped me find a path and a determination that I didn't know how to have at that moment. It made me find my voice. It made me find my inner strength and my abilities to kind of survive and tackle on tough situations. And I think because of that, obviamente he pasado por muchas cosas and I've been able to get through a lot. I know what it's like to kind of have all the odds stacked against you. I know what it's like to have no one in your corner, you know, and things like that. You know, I'm able to face all types of personalities and handle all kinds of situation because of the stuff that I've gone through. And it's made me a tough person, which I think in turn has also kind of became my curse in a sense, you know, porque a la misma vez, porque estoy tan, you know, I'm so, you know, I'm such a fighter that I just rather do things on my own, and I don't know how to ask for help. Y eso in turn has kind of made me somewhat of a loner, somewhat of me building up walls and not letting people through and not showing them que yo también, obviamente, paso por las mismas cosas. Yo sé what it's like to have self-doubt y a veces no sé ni cómo, por dónde empezar y dónde voy a terminar. Pero pues son cosas que yo paso por esas cosas sola porque yo no sé cómo pedir ayuda. Yo no sé cómo compartir mis sentimientos con otra gente porque I've always been kind of on my own doing things. And so this story goes to a darker time in my life where I thought that I could trust in people porque eran familia. And that taught me a huge lesson. Huge, huge lesson. Que no puedes confiar en todos. Nomás porque son familia, no necesariamente puedes confiar en ellos. Y es, you know, desafortunadamente, algo muy lamentable, ¿verdad? Porque obviamente quieres poder confiar en la familia, poder decir que sabes que la familia siempre va a estar ahí para ti y la familia es algo que es una fuerza entre ustedes que los ayudan a sobrevivir y seguir adelante. Pero pues no todo el tiempo es así y a veces, aunque sean familia, tienes que cortar esos listones, es esa conexión. I know that I had to cut ties off with a lot of people who I, you know, who were family. And if in the long run, it's was the best for me. I wouldn't be where I am today, recording this podcast, working, you know, in my dream job, you know, living my best life if it weren't for me cutting off these people. And it was one of the hardest things that I had to do porque es familia y es hard for me, especialmente como latino. Sabes que la familia somos muy unidas, siempre andamos juntos, siempre compartimos todo, siempre celebramos juntos. Lo que sea, los cumpleaños, los holidays, siempre estamos juntos. Y poder decir y sostener esa distancia entre familiares es una cosa súper difícil, súper, súper difícil, pero pues es algo que a veces es necesario, no solamente para que tú crezcas como persona y puedas hacer tu vida y seguir adelante, pero pues también porque es algo tóxico y necesitas un poco de claridad en tu alrededor, ¿verdad? Alrededor de ti. Necesitas más, un ambiente más positivo, un ambiente más, lleno de buenas energías. And you can't let these negative energies drain you down. And sometimes the negative energy comes from the people that you least expected. Así que I'm going to stop rambling and just get into the story. So stick around for the dicho of the week. This dicho in particular is something very general and very generic that can apply to any situation. Pero obviamente en este caso yo quería compartir esta historia con ustedes porque creo que es algo muy drástico y muy contrasting, Así que de dónde vine a dónde estoy es un camino muy largo. And I will try and condense it into a few minutes for you. Así que stick around and listen to the dicho of the week coming up now. Okay, the dicho of the week is no hay mal que por bien no venga. So let me repeat that again. No hay mal que por bien no venga. That basically translates to there is no bad that is not followed by any good. And basically what it means is, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a rainbow after the storm. There's always going to be, once you hit the bad, the rock bottom, there can't be any worse and everything else just seems better. So that's just a generic, kind of dicho proverb that can be applied to any situation. En esta situación, en esta historia que les voy a contar, obviamente es una historia así muy, muy personal que, I might be judged on, but it's okay, I'm a very big advocate on honesty and transparency, and I like to follow people and listen to people who are completely honest with their feelings. Y totalmente transparente con quién son ellos, porque I'm just not about that fake life, I'm not about the fake friends, I'm not about the fake personalities. I just love genuine, good people. Y gente que puede decir, sabes que I made a mistake, but I'm not that person anymore. I learned from it. Or that can tell me, directamente, sabes que, this is how I feel. Or this is how I, what my opinions are, things like that. I tend to surround myself with a lot of honest people and a lot of genuine, good-hearted people. Y creo que it has a lot to do with where I've come from, which is the story that I'm about to share with you. I've had a lot of untrustworthy. What is the correct word? I've had a lot of people who I was not able to trust. And I didn't know that because I was really naive as a young adult. Like I've said numerous times before, I grew up in a very isolated world. Mi papá me tenía un poco así como in my own little bubble. I was very naive and I was very innocent. Gente, they used to make fun of me for it. They used to be like, oh, Martha's, Martita, she's so innocent, Martita, a ver, el mundo color de rosa, y no es así, Y pues, obviously, I would get, upset and I would, take that kind of offensively, porque yo dije, pues no sé por qué la gente pues tiene que ser like tan, doubtful. Like, I don't know why they can't trust anyone. Y obviamente, I know why now, porque yo pasé por todo eso a little later in life, pero pues pasé por eso. I learned a very big lesson in life that No importa quién es, está alrededor de ti, no importa si sean familia, si sean amigos, si sea tu mejor amigo, si sea tu novio. There's always going to be people that you cannot trust. And so what it's very important to kind of be aware of the people you surround yourself with because of that reason. And I tend to surround myself with a lot of honest, genuine people porque, like I said, I've had a lot of my share of these, not trustworthy people. And unfortunately, I've had to cut ties off with a lot of them. So the story that I'm going to share with you has to deal with a former family member. I'll just, kind of keep it generic and for the protection of everyone. So it was a former family member who I was very close to as a teenager. And so I don't want to ramble on, pero pues les quiero dar un poquito de backstory that we can kind of get the gist of, how I got into the situation to begin with. And so, remember, the dicho says, no hay mal que por bien no venga. There was a period in time in my life where things got so dark for me and I just kind of hit rock bottom. Yo no sabía cómo fui que I found myself in the situation. And even though I knew it was wrong, no sabía por qué I would allow it to happen. And I think a lot of it had to do with me just always trying to find the best in people and always trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. I've always been really big on second chances. Y yo sé que por muchos años yo les daba muchas oportunidades a gente that kind of come from a broken background or have, issues or have, struggles, porque I feel like I could identify with them, And in ese momento, I think I was just looking for validation from someone. I was going through a really tough period in my life. I had just lost my father, and my father was a huge, pillar in my life. He was my pillar of strength, to be honest with you. Yo crecí en la Ciudad de México con mi mamá, pero me vine a vivir acá con mi papá y mi papá me crió aquí en San Antonio. Así que for the latter part of my years, my childhood and my adult years, or not even adult, but like pre-adult years, as a teenager, I was surrounded by my brothers and my father, and my mother was not in my life. And so my dad was my guide, my strength, my protector, He did such a good job at kind of keeping me isolated from the real world that I was just unaware of the real things that were happening in life. Yo no sabía que existía gente mala, que existía gente con maldad, que existía gente that intentionally wanted to hurt you. And so I didn't know exactly how to look for the signs or to kind of, how do I say this, filter out or screen people. I accepted everyone with open hearts and open arms and just, kind of gave myself to everyone and my friendship and all of that. This former family member knew that I was going through a really tough time porque en ese momento, obviamente, mi papá acababa de fallecer. Entonces, en ese momento, yo sentía que mi mundo, obviamente, como que se me, everything just came tumbling down. No sabía qué iba a hacer. En ese momento, yo estaba sola, me sentía sola, porque my mom, who I did not have a relationship with at that time, had to come live with me, porque I needed an adult. I was 15 years old when my dad passed away. I was entering high school, which is a very important, chapter in life. And I was on my own. La cosa es que mi papá, just to give you a little bit of background, he left me a will, and in his will, the house that I currently live in was to be sold. And all of the money from we had he had several properties and they were also to be sold, and all of the money was going into a trust fund for my college. And so, because I was 15 years old and I didn't have a guardian anymore, I had to get an attorney at 15 years old and fight the will. I had to fight and fight for this house porque no tenía dónde ir, no sabía ni por dónde, cómo iba a sostener una casa, cómo me iba a sostener yo misma, porque apenas estaba trabajando. I was working in Bell Miller's and going to high school. I mean, I obviously was not prepared to, live on my own at 15 years old. And so they had to get in contact with my mother and ask her to come back. And so when I fought for this house and I finally got to keep it, it was on the condition that my mother lived with me. And so I allowed it and we started living together in this house that I grew up in. Y pues se imaginan, no teniendo una relación con otra persona que viene siendo casi como tu roommate. Y según es tu madre, ¿verdad? Y no sabes ni cómo coexist in the same house with that person because you don't have a relationship with that person. And I era tan, ¿cómo se dice? Tan dividida la casa que yo tenía my own private entrance, and I would go in and out as I please, and I would stick to my side of the house, and my mother would stick to her side of the house, and we just would not, coexist and, interact or anything like that. And so it was a little awkward, for me. I felt my world tumbling down, and all I wanted was my dad. And so my brother and my sister-in-law decided to come and live with me. And so that happened, and my brother started to kind of be the pillar and strength that I needed at the time. He would give me consejos, me daba consejos, and he would always kind of, nag me along to kind of, you need to talk to mom and have a relationship with her and just kind of, just try at least. I know that, she hasn't been there for, X amount of years, but, we need to look past that. And he kind of gave, was trying to give me this lessons on forgiveness. And so I decided to try and give it a try and have a relationship con mi madre. Y entonces comencé poco a poco, And so this family member came into my life who knew that I had a really strained relationship with my mother. And this family member decided to take it upon themselves to kind of be the mediator between us. And so what she started trying to do was kind of be like, well, your mother's just looking out for you, things like that. But I totally understand you. And she was around my age. She was not too much older than me. Well, I mean, I think maybe she was maybe como 10 años más mayor que yo. Así que, pues, no es mucho, la verdad, porque I was like 15 and she was, 25, right? So she was still kind of young, like young enough for me to kind of relate to anything that she would tell me, young enough for me to listen to her. Y sentir ese apoyo de alguien que maybe understood me on my level, Entonces le hacía caso y esta persona era muy, muy bonita la persona físicamente. Entonces llamaba mucho la atención and she would get a lot of attention and she was always kind of looked at like the cool one and the, well-liked one and the well accepted everywhere we went. She had a lot of friends and was just kind of someone that I admired at the time. Y entonces creo que por eso also I kind of gravitated towards her, I gravitated towards that energy that she had, at the beginning. Y es algo que yo no tenía porque yo obviamente venía de estar sola, I grew up a very like loner person, I had one best friend my entire life until the age of 15, and I didn't know what it was like to interact with any other people at school. I didn't have friends, and I was very much felt like an outcast. Siempre me sentía así como sola, que nadie entendía lo que yo estaba pasando. Entonces, I kind of gravitated towards those alternative people, quote unquote, alternative people. That's what they used to call them at school, like the freaks, and I think I was okay with that, you know? That's where I felt the most accepted, because we were the people who were accepted, not accepted by, you know, the general population and the popular kids. I didn't know what it was like to, you know, be in a crowd of, you know, cool kids. And so I kind of stuck to my own, and I decided to, you know, learned new passions y cosas que me hacían feliz that would kind of help me fulfill that void that I was trying to fill in my life. And that meant hanging out with not the greatest people. Y obviamente, you know, I started to smoke pot and I started to go skate. And so, not that skating is bad, but you know, it was obviamente no algo así como común. You know, a lot of my friends that I ended up graduating with towards the end were looking into college, were in PALs, you know, were in extracurricular activities, top of the class. Y yo, básicamente, I almost did not graduate. And, you know, I'm over here a complete pothead, skipping out school like every single day. I was complete opposite, you know? Y no sabía por qué yo estaba pasando por eso, pero pues it's something that I just didn't think about at the moment. I was just kind of living it day by day, porque obviamente I used to, you know, wake up and think, you know, pues me falta mi papá. Like, all I wanted was my dad here. Y I was just so used to kind of my issues and my problems being resolved by my dad, because I was very much a daddy's girl. And for that to be taken away from me so abruptly, it was just kind of like ripping a band-aid off of a wound, and the wound wasn't healing. Y no sabía ni how to begin, you know, to heal. I didn't know what the real world was like, and it's not something that I blame on my father, you know, because he did such an incredible job at raising me. Pero es algo que yo sé que it was a really harsh reality check for me. I learned real quick what the real world was like. I learned real quick what, you know, the streets were like. And especialmente cuando comencé a juntarme con esta gente, you know, I would go and skate at the ditch, and I would, you know, spend my days smoking pot, and I would spend my days just kind of trying to escape this reality that was my reality and I could not deal with. Entonces this family member kind of saw that and maybe took advantage of the situation, because this family member had an addiction of her own. She had a coke addiction. And so, because I was a pothead and she was a cokehead, we stuck together. Entonces, cuando I used to skip school, she used to come and pick me up, and we used to go score our drugs together. And I say score, like I used to go, you know, to my dealer and go pick up some pot. Y luego íbamos a el dealer de ella, y ella obviamente, you know, would get her stuff. My dealer lived in a semi-decent neighborhood, so it wasn't a scary thing for me. It was just like in and out for me. I knew it was very easy transaction. And he was a very like nice person. I never had any issues with him. In fact, you know, we became really great friends. We became best friends, you know, all throughout high school. Pero pues la situación de ella es un poco diferente. I had never dealt with anyone who was not a pothead or, you know, dealt marijuana. I kind of stuck to those people. And so when we went to go score her drugs, it was a reality check for me. Porque to me, I think they were like dealing harder drugs. They weren't just dealing coke, they were dealing heroin and meth. And it was a very different world for me. I, you know, come from my dealer who's like nothing but love and peace and just high and happy, to people dealing with meth heads and people coming in and out and fights and people with guns and people who are just shady. And, you know, I remember going to score with her, and she sometimes didn't have the money. Y no sé qué hacía, pero pues she used to just kind of tell me to wait in the car, and I would hope for the best. She's like, if I don't come out in 5 minutes, then turn on the car, leave, and call the cops. And I mean, it's a scary situation for me. We're not in the best side of town. There's people standing around. There's people, with guns. There's people coming out in and out of the houses. You see crackheads and cokeheads and just shady people who you kind of have to watch your back. And it was something that I was not used to, porque I'm obviously sitting in the car with the doors locked, scared to death that something's going to happen to me. I don't know these people. I always felt like something bad was going to happen. I always felt like I needed to protect myself, and I didn't know if they were, gonna. I honestly felt like going to these houses, I felt like it could potentially be the place where I die. And that sounds really dramatic, but that's how I felt every single time we went to go score her coke. Porque it was never the same house. It was always a different house. It was always a different dealer because she owed people different people money, and so we always had to go to new people. And so you might be wondering, pues, ¿por qué? Why would you go along with this? And like I said, it's because she was my enabler. She was the one who would help me go score my drugs, and I would skip school and go and smoke pot at her house. But in order for me to do that, I had to go along with whatever she wanted to do. And so now that I give you a background on what kind of life it was, this is where kind of it went wrong, where the betrayal started to happen. This family member started to live with us, right? We had an apartment in the back and she lived with us. And so imagine we were together every single day. Siempre nos las pasábamos juntas, y siempre we would go from doing drugs to going out to putting on makeup to doing girl stuff to having like pajama nights. And I mean, it wasn't always bad, it was just a combination of good and bad. We had good moments, we had bad moments, but oh, it was a very adventurous, lifestyle, and it was very anxious lifestyle. I think a lot of my anxiety may stem from that. This is probably why I have, such issues with thinking something is always going to happen. I get very anxious and very nervous, in certain situations, and it's because like I always feel like I'm going to get bad news, because that's how I was at one point in my life. Every single day, it was like I would get bad news. Like either someone went to jail, or someone died, or someone got hurt, or just something bad would constantly happen, to the point where I would wake up and just cry and just spend my days crying and praying that this is not my life. Like, my life is not going to be like this. I didn't know how, from one moment to the next, I went from like being such a happy person, with having my dad, y estando en este mundo lleno de positividad y lleno de buenas energías, to another world of just disaster and tragedy and uncertainty. Like, I just did not know the contrast could be so drastic. And it was something that I dealt with on my own. And so I dealt with it as best I could. And a lot of that time, it had to do with me escaping my reality, which is, obviously smoking marijuana, smoking pot. And so this family member came to live with us. Entonces, we would spend our days even more together, And it got to the point where we got so close that ella sabía mucho de mi vida, porque obviamente creció con la familia. She was such a close, family member to everyone, that she knew a lot about our lives. She knew a lot about she knew my dad, when he was alive, and she obviously knew my mom and the entire family, porque obviamente es familia, And so that kind of was a gateway into kind of what my life could have become. It was a gateway to what could have been a tragic, ending for me. Because she knew a lot about me. She ended up one day, so this is a situation where it kind of went, the betrayal started. So one day we were in the car driving, and ella estaba manejando, yo estaba en el asiento del the passenger side. Y entonces íbamos, creo que veníamos, no sé de dónde veníamos, but I remember that we were just heading home and she got pulled over by a cop. Entonces, en ese momento, she freaked out, and she's just telling me que tenía, she had coke with her. And so then I freaked out porque, pues, obviamente ando en el mismo carro con ella. ¿Qué va a pasar, verdad? Si la agarran con ella con, a substance, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I was so new to everything. I'd never gone to jail. Had never gotten arrested, much less pulled over. I was, very young. I just kind of always been under the radar and just kept myself under the radar and never got into trouble, even though, like, I would consistently skip school on a daily. Y siempre me la pasaba fumando marijuana. I never really got into trouble. I was just kind of a big pothead. That's it. And so, and just not going to school. But it didn't mean that I was, a troublemaker. I never started any fights. I never, got in trouble for anything. And so I freaked out, porque yo no sabía ni cómo reaccionar. And I was like, what do you mean you have coke on you? Like, what are you gonna do? And so I remember, I still remember little, it's funny how you remember things like this, porque yo me acuerdo que, I even remember all of her hiding spots. I remember her hiding spots where she would put, her coke, her little coke bags. But at that moment, ella agarró la bolsita de coca y se la puso debajo del zapato. So at that time, she used to wear, like, I don't know if you remember those Steve Madden wooden shoes. So they were, like, kind of like platformed, but the bottom was made of wood. And she had some shoes that had, like, a little cutout. Like, if you open, if, like, the sole would flip open. And so it had a little cutout in the wooden part of the heel. And so she would stuff her coke in there. And so, entonces, en ese momento es lo que hizo ella. And she's like, oh my God, I know I'm gonna go to jail. I have warrants, and this and that. And I was like, oh my God, what do I do? We didn't have cell phones at the time. Creo que apenas estaba saliendo los celulares, but I remember I had a pager for sure. Because I remember I used to always get it taken away in high school until I finally got a cell phone. And then I got that taken away. And they're all like, well, your parent has to come and pick it up. And I was like, why? I bought it myself. And when I told the principal that, he's like, wow, I'm very proud of you. I was like, I work and I bought it myself. Like, you bought it yourself? I was like, yes. And so from that moment on, they let me keep my cell phone and they never took it away from me ever again. But anyways, because of that, like, I just didn't know what to do. And so I think I ended up trying to call someone, but it just didn't work out. The cop came to the window and I just noticed that she just quickly stuffed the coke in her shoe. And I just kind of stayed silent, So the cop comes and asks her for her license and registration. Y ella, pues, les dice que no tiene licencia, because she didn't have her license at the time. I think it was suspended. And she had warrants. So imagínate, she already knew that she was going to go to jail. And so, el oficial le dijo que step out of the car, and they decided to search, the car and things like that. And they didn't find anything, thankfully. Porque imagínate si hubieran encontrado la coca que tenía inside her shoe. Oh my goodness. But what I didn't know was that they had asked her what her name was when she was outside of the vehicle. And she said that her name was my name, Martha Hassel. Entonces, she didn't have an ID with her. She didn't have anything with her. Like I said, she had a suspended license and she didn't have an ID with her. So obviamente, like, they didn't have a way to prove that it wasn't her, until, where I'm going with this. Vienen y me preguntan a mí, and they tell me to step out of the car, and they ask me what my name is. Y pues me being the honest person that I am always, obviamente les dije que mi nombre era Marta Jasso. Y el oficial me acuerdo que me, he like stops and like gives me this look like, no, your name can't be that. And he told me, he goes, that's not possible because she says she's Martha Jasso or Jasso, I think. And I was like, what? When he told me that, like, everything just paused for me. I was like, what? Like, my heart skipped a beat, and it just started skipping like faster and faster, porque I started getting even more nervous, and I think that didn't help, you know, porque I was like, what do you mean? Like, no, my. And so I trying to convince the officer that my name is Martha Hasso, and I didn't have anything on me except my backpack, you know, because obviously I was skipping school. Y entonces, they decide that one of us is lying. He goes, well, one of you is lying. So unless someone tells me the truth, both of y'all are going to jail. Entonces, pues, yo me quedaba viendo a esta persona, you know, my family member. And I was, like, just kind of waiting for her to kind of fess up to it and just be honest and open with this officer. And I was, like, giving her that look, like, tell him, you know, that you're not me. Tell him that I am who I am, you know? And but she didn't. She did not do that. Y entonces, they handcuffed both of us, and they ended up transporting us both to the magistrate. It was the first time that I had gone through anything like that. I was scared to death. I was so scared and so embarrassed. Y no sabía ni por dónde iba a empezar. Like, how was I going to explain this to my brother? How was I going to explain this to my mother? That, you know, I was supposed to be in school, pero yo no estaba en la escuela. Estaba con esta persona. And then this happened. How am I going to try and convince them that I had nothing to do with it? I mean, at that time, you know, it was very frowned upon to be smoking marijuana, to be a pothead and all that. You know, it was almost like on the level, at least con mi familia, porque creo que en muchas familias hispanas es así, que it's kind of a taboo, you know, like you don't talk about that and you don't even mention, you know, the marijuana plant or anything like that. It's almost just as bad as being, you know, any other drug, and you might as well be on any other drug because that's how bad it is in their eyes. And so it's like me trying to convince this pothead is trying to convince my family que yo no tuve nada que ver con esto, que yo no quise, obviamente, yo no ni le mentí al oficial, yo no quise venir a esta situación, you know, o estar en ese lugar. And you know, it was almost an impossible situation for me to kind of get out of, porque at that moment I had already dug myself so much, and it was kind of like the boy who cried wolf, right? Like that story, cuando como que ya no te creen, you know, and your credibility and your trustworthiness kind of just, you know, dissipates, like, pues it's not on that level anymore. Y entonces, obviamente, todo lo que dices no te van a creer. And so that's basically where I was at con mi familia, you know. Y todo por esta persona, esta familia que I trusted, you know. And so we end up going to the magistrate. I end up getting booked porque at this point, she still has not confessed to the officers who she is. It's not until we both had to get booked so that we can both have an identity. And so since she had already been in jail, they were able to match her identity after the fact, you know. Pero pues it was my first time going to jail, and imagínate, digo, ¿qué les puedo decir a las personas? Why did you go to jail? Oh, because I said that my name was Martha Hasso and the officer didn't believe me. I mean, that is a crazy story. Nadie va a creer eso. Obviamente nadie se lo va a creer. So imagine like me telling the officers, you know, and they're telling me like, what are you here for? You know, pues I don't even know. I don't know what I'm here for. And I'm pretty sure I sounded like every other person going through jail. I'm innocent, you know, and I didn't do anything wrong. But I honestly did not do anything wrong. Y entonces, I was kind of defeated. I felt defeated so bad, and I felt embarrassed, and I felt like I hit rock bottom. No podía creer que esto me estaba pasando. Yo dije, ¿cómo puede ser que estoy aquí? And I felt kind of like it was a punishment for me just not being, honest on the right track, and just being at school. I mean, I have been honest, and I shouldn't say honest, but I meant honest, like being on the right track, being where I should be. I just wasn't, it was kind of, I felt like it was a punishment for me skipping school and smoking pot and all that, Entonces, in order for, so I was a, I didn't know when I was in jail, like what the process was or anything like that. I remember I was in my cell. It was kind of like a big dorm looking thing, like a room full of cells on one wall, on each side of the wall, and in the middle was like a steel picnic table looking thing, And I remember being like, they told me, I was in, the jumpsuit, that they give you, and I'm in the cell and I'm just crying and crying and crying and crying. And the person, my cellmate, she was an older lady. She was trying to console me, telling me like, baby, it's gonna be okay, honey, it's gonna be okay. She's like, you're so young, what are you doing here? And yo, at that time, I was 17. So I could have been booked as an adult, but I wasn't. I was in juvie, and so I was there with a bunch of younger people. Y entonces, but she was older than me at the time, like by a few years. And she was telling me about her situation. In ese momento, I think she was telling me, I don't remember ex her exact story, pero pues obviamente me acuerdo que she had been in and out of jail, so it was not new to her. And she was just trying to console me and let me know that I will be out in a few days. And I was like, a few days? Like, I don't even want to be here a day. I didn't do anything wrong, Yo no hice nada malo. Entonces, I didn't know, if I was supposed to call my mom. I didn't know if I was supposed to have a lawyer. Yo no sabía ni qué hacer. I literally was just crying there and waiting it out. It wasn't until later that they told me that my mom and my brother are looking into bailing me out. And I was like, okay. Pero, and they're like, okay, well, you should be getting out of here soon. Entonces, pues me tocó nomás esperar, I started just to kind of wait it out. And I remember even like some girl that got booked with me was this girl that lived down the street from me. And she was had a reputation for being a troublemaker. Y me acuerdo que ella entró and she was, her name was Yvette. And she's like, girl, what are you doing here? And I was like, pues no sé. Like, I mean, I don't know. And I was just crying. And she's like, it's gonna be okay. And I was like, I can't believe that I'm in here with this girl who I've always been forbidden to talk to because she had a reputation for being such a troublemaker. And we went to the same school, but I never wanted to hang out with her because I knew that she was a girl who like would fight everyone. She was a girl who would, just kind of be like in gangs and, be involved with wrong people and, have sexual relations. I was a virgin at the time, I, yo no sabía, era tan inocente que yo no, I did, it was like an entirely different world that I lived in. Entonces, cuando esto me pasó, it was just like very scary for me. It was a very scary moment. And so I have all these people trying to console me and everything, and I'm waiting and waiting. The entire day passes by, and it's time to go to bed. And I'm like, no, no podía ni dormir, no dormí en toda la noche. So then it's the next day, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna get out now. No, pasó otro día. And finally, on the third day, they let me out. They called me and they're like, okay, well, you can leave. And I was like, why did it take so long? And they're like, well, you gotta ask your family that, or whatever. And so no one gives me, in jail, like no one ever gives you answers. You can ask them 1,000 questions, no one's gonna give you an answer. It's really up to you to figure things out on your own. Y por eso, pues, obviamente, I didn't know what my rights were, no sabía ni my options, you know, I didn't know a lot of things. And at the moment, I was just happy to kind of be out of jail. And I was also angry, incredibly angry at what had happened, porque I wasn't supposed to be there. You know, and when I got to see my family, they're like, well, we were going to get you out of jail, pero pues we wanted to teach you a lesson, porque obviamente, you know, you made a mistake and you need to pay for it, you know. It's all about the consequences and facing the consequences of your choices. And so, obviamente, you know, my mistake, you know, obviously I was skipping school, something that I was not supposed to be doing. I was smoking pot, something that I was not supposed to be doing. Estaba con esta persona que ya me habían dicho that I shouldn't be hanging out with her because at that point it was already known that she had a coke addiction. And so, oh, they're like, nothing good is going to come from this. Y pues, así pasó, you know, nothing good came from it. I ended up in jail for the first time in my life for something that I didn't do, and I came out so angry at this person. This person ended up staying in jail for a couple of months and then finally getting out. And entonces, or a couple of weeks, I think it was just a few weeks. Pero cuando salió, pues, I was just angry. Y ella vivía con nosotros. Imagínate cómo me sentía. It was just that moment of just like, why would you do this to me? Why would you betray me that like that, you know? You're supposed to be my family and you're supposed to be someone that I trust. And you took an advantage of my trust. You took advantage of the closeness that we had. She knew my date of birth. She knew my personal information. And so she knew a lot of things about me. And that was just the beginning of the betrayal. She had no remorse for what she did. Y entonces, I kind of started putting up a distance between me and her. And so that leads me to, you know, the second betrayal that came from this family member. And this was at a time where I just wasn't talking to her anymore. Pero por como les decía, you know, we had gotten so close at that time that we developed a very, like, almost like sisterhood between us. And so when all of this happened that I ended up going to jail because of her, I was heartbroken and I felt like she backstabbed me and it was devastating for me. It was just a very harsh betrayal that I could not deal with. Y it was the first time that I felt any sort of betrayal. Yo no sabía que gente puede ser así como tan mala y tan intentionally just kind of go through life hurting people and not feeling any remorse or any, you know, regret for the things that they do. And it was the first time that I went face to face with someone like this. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me. It was eye-opening in the sense that I now know that people like her existed and that I now knew that I needed to start filtering people out and not being so trustworthy from the very beginning. I knew now that I needed to kind of be cautious and wary of the people I surround myself with and handpick the people that I choose to, you know, have a relationship with. And so because of that, I distanced myself, pero pues. Because she lived around, you know, us, y siempre estaba en la misma casa y todo eso, pues, you know, I still obviously had a some sort of connection with her and some sort of relationship with her. We were cordial. I just did not hang out with her as much anymore. I obviously did not go with her to go score her drugs as much anymore. Porque, you know, that's a whole other story, and I can probably share that story with you later on, pero I can give you so many stories of the time where I thought like I was gonna die, you know, and or that something bad, even worse, was gonna happen to me, or not. I mean, that's not even worse. Like that's the worst that can happen. I thought like, you know, maybe like I was gonna get raped or like algo malo me iba a pasar, and it was just situations that I should not have been in, and it was because of this family member. Entonces, I'll share that with you some other time, pero. Back to the second part of the betrayal. Entonces, en ese momento, you know, I was already halfway through high school and I decided to apply for a job at the bank. at a bank. I was coming from Bill Miller's, and so obviamente, it was a big girl move for me. I was starting a career, which I thought was a career, porque it's to me it was a big girl job, being, able to work at a bank and having a career and not go to, work with a uniform, but go to work with, slacks and nice shirts and, and just kind of have money, like good money of my own and all that. It was just a very exciting moment in my life, porque I was starting to kind of gather myself together, gather all the pieces, and comencé a, ponerle más atención a mi persona, a mis carrera, mi educación, ponerle un poquito de enfocarme más en lo que quería hacer con mi vida, kind of determined to find a path of my own and just kind of reinvent myself, right? Especially like just find myself in all that. So I got hired at the bank, I was going to work at a vault for a bank and counting money. Entonces, pues es algo que pues se me hacía muy padre en ese momento, pues yo se me hacía como un sueño realidad, ¿verdad? Realizado, así como wow, yo trabajando en un banco es como algo que siempre soñé, ¿no? Es algo que es muy, no sé, es una ilusión tan hermosa en ese momento que I was just excited, And so they tell me, we're just waiting on the background check, and then you have your hire date, this is the day that you're going to start. So the background check was supposed to be coming at the end of the week, and it was a Monday, and the background check was supposed to come ready before Friday, and then I was going to start working the following Monday. Entonces, pues estoy esperando el background check, and I was like fine with it, because at that time, when I had gone in jail, it was as a minor and it wasn't on my record. Everything got dropped because obviously I didn't do anything wrong and I wasn't charged with anything. Entonces, I didn't have any record, and I was like, okay, that's fine, I'm good, nothing's gonna come out in my on my record, this and that. And I was just like excited to start este nuevo trabajo. Entonces, que me vienen diciendo, unfortunately, your background check didn't come out clear, didn't come out clean, and pues yo me saqué de onda como diciendo qué, cómo que no puede ser, porque pues obviamente, yo ya pasé por todo eso, they told me there's nothing on my record that can prevent me from working this job. What is it? And so they're like, but well, we send, a copy to your house, we mailed it to you, et cetera, et cetera. So when the background check came, I looked at it and it said that I had a felony for theft. And I was like, what? Y pues me saqué de onda. I was like, this is a huge mistake. Why would I have a felony for theft? Yo nunca me he robado nada. I mean, I was scared to even take gum or anything. I would never steal in my life, And I had never stolen anything in my entire life. Entonces, much less, I was like, this is like so weird, And so I didn't know what to do, The lady at the bank, the hiring manager, was so kind that they kind of guided me and said, well, I think you need to go to, you might need to go get a copy of your criminal records and clear that up. And they even told me, si puedes probar que no fuiste tú, and if this is a mistake and this is not you, and you're able to clear this up within, 2 weeks from now, then we can hire you. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I can totally do that. A mí se me hacía muy fácil. Obviamente, I can completely clear this up because it's not me, And so they're like, well, you need to go get a copy of your police record, the criminal charges, from the police station. I was like, okay, está bien, So I go down to the police station and I get a copy of these charges of the criminal records and all that. And so on there, it tells you what you're being charged with, and all the personal information, including alias names. Entonces, que veo que obviamente dice mi nombre, my date of birth, everything, and I'm just like, this is so weird, And then I see the alias name, and the alias name was the family member that I used to hang out with. And I freaked out. I was like, no puede ser. No puede ser. No puede ser que esta persona otra vez me está haciendo esto. She was ruining my life, literally ruining my life at that moment. At that point in my life, it went from like being devastated and feeling betrayed, just feeling angry and just hatred towards this person. Como que no podía creer que esta persona sea tan mala y que haga cosas con tan mala intención. That I could not fathom the thought that just monstrous people existed like this. And so I confronted her about it. And she's like, and all she had to say was, oh, well, that's not even supposed to be on your record because I did time for it. I was like, that's all you have to say? And keep in mind, that I've never been a fighter. I've never, been in a fight. I've never really had to defend myself. And so it was something that I just kind of didn't know how to, face. I didn't know how to face such a strong personality. Y pues, yo me quedé callada. Es lo único que puedes decir. That's all you can say to me. That this shouldn't be on the record. And I just started crying. I was like, I can't believe you did this to me. You cost me my job. You cost me a job. And I told her, all I could do is just kind of cry and tell her I was so angry. And just tell her, I can't believe you cost me the job that I wanted. This was a dream job for me. And she's like, well, just get it cleared out. Just tell him it wasn't you. Se le hacía muy fácil a la persona. Entonces, it turns out that I had to hire an attorney and prove that it wasn't me. So I had to go down to the police station. It took longer than 2 weeks, let me tell you. It took almost a year for me to clear that out. Because I don't know qué tantas cosas tenía que hacer, but I remember having to go get fingerprinted. I remember having to ask this family member to write a letter saying that she confessed to it being her and, have it notarized. And just there was a lot of things that I had to do to prove that it was not me. And me being a 18-year-old at the time, on the verge of graduating, being so young, and having to deal with all this, it was just a big burden on me. It was incredibly stressful for me. Obviamente, I didn't get the job because it took so long for me to clear that up, but I finally got it cleared up, after so long. And I decided from that moment that, that's it. Like, that was the last straw for me. And these are just two situations where I felt betrayed by this person. There's so many other moments, otros momentos y otras situaciones que también pasé por ellos, donde me sentí no solamente que me hizo daño, pero I felt uncomfortable and I felt unsafe and I felt unprotected and just used. Y it's just so many little moments that when these bigger moments happened, it was already too much for me to handle. It was something that I just decided that I could not deal with in life. And so I decided to let this person go and cut this person off. Entonces, now that you know the entire story, everything comes full circle, right? So I know that a while ago, no sé si se acuerdan que puse en Instagram a post saying that recently there was a family member who was diagnosed with cancer, and even though I was very distant from this person, I no longer took talk to them, and no longer had a connection or a relationship with them. I wished them well, and I decided, I would go visit them at the hospital and pray for them and be there for them now. Well, this family member is not, the family member that I was referring to in my story, but it is the mother of the family member that I was referring to in my story. And so this the mother, who had a lot to say about my family at the time. She did not like my family. She did not like my brothers. She just kind of always had things to say about my family. Is now in a situation where the only people that she has in life is really left because a lot of her family members have passed away, unfortunately. A lot of the people that she has left in life is my family. And so things come full circle. Excuse me, because cancer is, unfortunate. You don't want anything or anyone to go through that. Anyone to go through through that, excuse me, much less go through it alone. And so this is where the forgiveness comes, Y por eso digo, como dice el dicho, no hay mal que por bien no venga. Everything has come full circle. I've come to closure with a lot of these people who have done me wrong, who have had a really big part of my life, and spent there a really big part of my life, kind of, how do I say this? Not adding any value to my life. But I learned to forgive, I learned to forgive not only these people who have talked about my family and I, but I learned to forgive the family member that did me wrong, that did so many things wrong in my life, that stole my identity, that, excuse me, that, made me go through whatever it is that I went through. Because at the end of the day, we are all human. And it goes back to what I was saying, excuse me. When we automatically start to judge people. I know that some people nunca van a cambiar. Y hay gente que pues jamás, jamás va a cambiar. Y mi mamá siempre dice, el otro dicho que siempre dice, what is it? I forgot how it goes. Árbol que nace torcido, su, what is it? Árbol que nace torcido, sus ramas jamás endereza. And so, there's some people that are never going to change, Pero pues a la misma vez, we are all human and we all make mistakes. Y a veces es muy importante dar oportunidades a personas. Especially when it comes to finding closure, and healing from it. Porque sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we just need to close those bridges and close that chapter in our lives and kind of move on and past that. And that's where I'm at in my life. I move past it all. Yo sé que estas personas, no solamente esta persona, the family member that I used to hang out with, but a lot of her extended family and her immediate family did my family wrong in so many ways. Pero pues la misma vez, yo no les deseo mal, I feel like people should be given another opportunity. It doesn't mean that I have a relationship with them now. No quiere decir que we're going to become best friends again. It's something that I decided to, it's, they are people that I decided to kind of keep at a distance. Pero pues, it doesn't mean that I can't, maybe pray for them and help them out if they ever need any help and if it's within my means to help them. Porque I just feel like everyone should be able to kind of learn how to forgive. And I think the biggest test of forgiveness is forgiving those enemies that you feel you could never forgive. And so that's where I'm at now, Yo sé que it's something that's kind of I'm not proud of, obviously. I don't go around telling people how I used to, do drugs or, smoke pot and how I went to jail and how I, what it's like. I know what it's like to kind of be, in a struggle daily, and it's hard for me to kind of talk about that, porque es algo that I'm not proud of. And if you look at the situations that I'm at now, it's something that I've kind of learned to get past. Obviamente, mi vida como es hoy es totalmente diferente a como era antes, I think it's day and night, and I live a very positive and wholesome life now. It's very fulfilling. I surround myself by positive people, and it's something that it's taken me a very long time to, figure out. And so it's something that I'm very proud of, that's for sure. Well, I know that it's kind of a long episode, and I didn't want to just continue to ramble on. Así que I hope that you enjoyed the story. If there's something in your life that you feel like you can't get out of, just remember que todo es posible. Like the dicho says, no hay mal que por bien no venga. There is always a solution, and things can get better. It's really up to you, whether you decide to kind of push forward in the positive direction. Y esa vida que quieres crear, you start to manifest it with your thoughts, your dreams, your intentions, and the friends and family that you surround you. That being said, I hope everyone has a wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any stories to share with me, continue to do so. If you have any feedback, continue to, hit up my DMs, and I hope you enjoy the story. Thank you so much for waiting on me, and I will see you next week with another dicho and another story. All right, bye. Don't forget that you can follow me on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Dichos Podcast. You cannot miss me, guys. El logo tiene un huevo amarillo. At least that's what it looks like. So you can go ahead and share with your friends, like my posts, slide into my DMs porque me encanta oír las historias de ustedes. And if you have anything to share with me, let me know. Leave some feedback and comments. If you have a dicho in particular that you would like for me to, contar una historia, let me know that as well. Así que go share. Dichos Podcast, Facebook, and Instagram.